This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Well, Lincoln Land Community College in Springfield is offering a new workforce program for farmers and students. The program is developed for broad agricultural interest, from farm owners, operators, and farm service providers to the traditional student. Workforce Specialist for Lincoln Land, David Bowman, says the program was developed because of a request from the National Corn Ethanol Research Center.
The background on the development, we were approached by SIUE at Edwardsville. The National Corn Ethanol Research Center has been pivotal in many major grants and now into the arena of community college training. We created the consortium. There's four community colleges, Lincoln Land, Lewis and Clark, Southwestern, and Carl Sandburg, and we came together with SIUE over at the National Corn Ethanol Research Center again, because as we go further into the 21st century, agriculture is going to be asked to do more and more. With a growing population globally, expanding markets, things that will help our agriculture remain a world leader, we suddenly find that there's some things, as an example, on nutrient loss, we have to do a better job on loss prevention, keeping it on the farm.
David says the program offers 7 courses and also has the option to earn a certificate.
Our advisory committee arrived at 7, and that's a magic number for us in the community college because that gives us what we call a certificate of achievement. So the 7 will give us what we call the full certificate. That's 30 credit hours with a few other complementary courses that can be transferable. That will take a student to, say, a full-blown associate's. But to a farmer, he may not be interested in, you know, picking up 7. He would like to pick up maybe 1 or 2. So we started with the introduction to ag watershed. We call it ag watershed because watersheds are often looked at, you know, from an ecological or a geological, but not necessarily from agriculture. And so agriculture has an influence, especially in Illinois, in most of our watersheds. And so the nutrient loss reduction opportunity raises its eyebrows immediately. That how can we take and reduce losses on the farm to help us on the bottom line, the economic line on the farm as well. And so the introduction to this 107, course 107, is the introduction to ag watershed management. And that gives all the players who they are, again, where the laws come from, how we got those laws. It's kind of like an intro that says, well, it's the salad bar, so to speak, as you go to the buffet. And then you have a better understanding. Well, maybe I need to talk to the drainage commissioner in my drainage district because he holds a lot of the key plays, as we know, under law. And so Dr. Harold Reitz did a great job in arriving at the intro course, what we call Ag Watershed 107. 101 is a course that is on ground covers. And what we call ground covers in the horticultural world is cover crops to the agricultural world. Bare soil is not healthy soil. If we have bare soil, we soon lose it. It's hit by raindrops, you know, again, the flocculation changes. So what you see is the introduction to cover crops, and Dick Lyons, our former director of agriculture at Lincoln Land, is the content provider for that course. He's one of the premier operators, and he's an actual farm operator, that has done cover crops for several years, and you continue to tweak those cover crops as you continue the ramp, we call it, from truly inorganic, say, agriculture to more of an organic form. Especially cover crops are so host-specific when it comes to soils. It's so drainage-specific when it comes to soils. So there's all sorts of things you can tweak that, and it's like precision agriculture, and then suddenly the crosshairs come into play, and you've got that cover crop exactly with your regimen that's not like your neighbor. Your neighbor may have a cover crop regimen that's totally different than yours because his farming practices are very different from yours. 102 is the conservation practice systems 2. That's not subsurface. We're talking about totally subsurface activity, whether it's tillage, whether it's tile, whether it's water gates, whether it's anaerobic digesters, you know, the biodigester, to take and strip out nutrients that are exiting the farm and don't need to go into the water supply. So 102 is a very strategic course, and we have an example of that on the Lincoln Lamb Soils Lab. 103 is nutrient use efficiency. We know a lot about nutrients. We know that if we exceed the cation exchange capacity of the soil, we'll lose that nutrient. I'm thinking of nitrate in particular. So it gets into how does polyphosphate react in the soil surface, in the subsoil, compared to rock phosphate, because they're both phosphate sources vital to modern agriculture, but yet the polyphosphate acts very differently. So 103 was created by Dennis Godar. He's a farm services specialist at what's called a technical service provider. His firm in Rochester is one of the top ones in the United States, and he's also president of the TSP organization. 104, Dr. Karen Robinson is a great specialist in psychology. We often wonder why, and this came out during our group meetings with the committee, why doesn't some agriculture change? Why does the older generation cling to something stronger? Especially I was thinking my father had been through the Great Depression, and yet the next generation, I was thinking the millennials below a baby boomer like me, how do they turn around and it's like respond to change? Do they champion change? Do they resist change? How does that switch turn on or turn off? 105, Agriculture Watershed 105 is big data management. As we look towards just the nutrients side and keeping it on the farm, how do we take big data management, which is precision agriculture, and use that to become master within nutrient and nutrient loss reduction so that we have the data to support that we are not only seeing a reduction of loss, but we're also seeing an increase in yield. And that's what we want is both. We want better efficiency on the farm, but we want big data to drive it. We know that there are certain areas of the farm field that may be poorly drained. Well, what happens if we put a drain in there but immediately exits the field and goes downstream? So we use big data as another one. The last one, this was by Dr. Harold Reitz. This is sediment fundamentals. Agricultural sediments respond differently than normal sediments because of the intensity of agriculture, the amount of extraneous products done to that sediment. In some ways, they're very fragile when we think of compaction or compaction during wet times, or it gets into a variety of things. How did they release that nutrient to the plant and make it available? So we're getting down to the microscopic level.
For more information about Lincoln Land's Ag Watershed Management Program, you can call 217-786-2317. Or if you'd like to hear my full interview with David, you can visit our website, WSMIradio.com. And we'll be back with more Ag News in just a moment. Beef Products, Inc. and ABC News have reached a settlement in a lawsuit over ABC's use of the term pink slime. Meat industry publication Meeting Place reports that no terms of the settlement have been disclosed, but Beef Products, Inc. announced Wednesday morning that the company was extraordinarily pleased to have reached a settlement. ABC also released a statement saying they reached an amicable resolution of its dispute with the makers of lean, finely textured beef. Beef Products, Inc. was suing the network and a lead reporter in a $1.9 billion case over ABC's series of reports in the spring of 2012 that raised questions about lean, finely textured beef's suitability for human consumption. BPI closed three of four processing plants and laid off some 700 people in March of 2012 after demand for lean, finely textured beef plummeted. In other news, the Department of Ag is seeking public input on GMO labeling. The USDA Ag Marketing Service posted 30 questions for the public this week regarding labeling food items containing genetically modified ingredients. The feedback, according to Politico, will help the agency develop a proposed rule governing how food manufacturers disclose when products contain genetically engineered ingredients. Questions include what terms should be interchangeable with bioengineering, whether the Ag Marketing Service should require disclosures for foods containing highly refined products such as oils or sugars derived from bioengineered crops, and the amount of a bioengineered substance needed to deem it bioengineered. The GMO labeling legislation passed by Congress last year gave USDA 2 years to finalize the regulation. The USDA says it's preparing to release the rule later in 2017. Well, that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.